Welcome to the Gadget Grill here on 2RDJ FM, 88.1 on the FM band and on the internet at www.radio2rdj.com. I'm the Professor Stumpy, Steamboat Gaz.
I'm Jason Murray.
And I'm Alex Horosh.
Welcome to the show. G'day, guys. How have you been?
I've been good. I've spent the weekend down in the Hunter Valley drinking wine and dancing to Hot Tub Time Machine.
You win.
That sounds absolutely terrible.
It was horrible.
Yeah, no. Yeah. I don't know how you managed to survive long enough to get back.
Yeah, I don't even know why I'm here. I mean, Jeff's not.
Indeed. Jason, what have you been up to?
I bought a table.
A table?
It's been riveting. I'm not going to lie.
Does it have Wi-Fi? Does it have any kind of Bluetooth? Because no, it is a smart table?
No, it's a very smart table.
It's a dumb table.
Yeah, no. How dare you?
Is it a five times table?
Is it a feature table? A feature table.
It is a feature table, and it actually does come with expandable storage because you can extend the table out.
There you go. Okay, that's it, because my table, our dining table, certainly could be described as expandable storage.
Yeah.
You can make it bigger and everything gets lumped on top of it. We have to clean it about three times a year when we have people over, for instance, for our Thanksgiving dinner.
Nah. So, look, the addition of a table to my living room has been important because I've been without one for a little while, and it makes my house feel complete again. I'm very happy.
And it beats having Besser blocks with a piece of pine board across the top, doesn't it?
Yes.
That actually is the new craze, actually. Like, that's very in vogue, so...
Oh, it's been in vogue for quite a long time. I can remember in the... Oh, it would have been around about 1974, visiting some friends, and they had some bricks on the side there with planks set up across them and a turntable put up on that. And, of course, it's a very stable platform for a turntable, as I'm sure you understand.
Yeah, it didn't jump at all.
Of course, in those days, turntable was the means of listening to music. It could, you know, there were cassettes.
Poor people. Poor people from, like, the 70s who didn't have anything better to listen to music with.
Yeah, no Spotify, no Apple Music.
Yeah,
Can you imagine what Spotify would have been like in the 70s? Some poor guy would have had to actually walk around carrying a stack of albums. He's like, do you want this one? Do you want this one? Do you want this one? This one's just for you.
Haven't you heard of a mixtape?
Yeah.
Where do you think mixtapes came from? It came from people who had vinyl.
I thought mixtapes came from every sappy 70s romantic movie.
Where the
boy would create a mixtape to woo the girl of his dreams.
Well, yes, but they actually come not from the movies, but from life. And art imitates life.
It sounds terrible now.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Wait, Hollywood didn't invent them?
No.
No, Hollywood didn't invent them. They just popularized it.
Yes. Now, speaking of popularized, in the 1950s, there was a gentleman who popularized a form of music. He's largely regarded as one of the fathers of rock and roll. And this morning, about 8:30, 9 o'clock, news started to come through that Chuck Berry had passed away. Overnight Australian time in the United States. So I thought today I'll play a couple of Chuck Berry pieces to reminisce just how wonderful the music is that this guy produced. So we're going to start with Johnny B. Goode by Chuck Berry.
You're back with The Gadget Grill on 2RDJ 88.1 FM and on the internet at www.radio2rdj.com. And it's time for the news.
It is. Who's going to go first with the news?
I've got a question.
What's that?
To lead off the news.
What's that?
How useful do you think you're going to be to the world at age 94?
Okay, there's a...
That sounds like a loaded question.
I'm glad you've picked up on that.
There's
a very good reason for it.
I'm going to challenge the premise that I'm actually going to be alive and 94.
That may actually just be the answer.
Right.
Yeah, so more useful is your answer.
Yes, exactly. Precisely.
So, Alex, what do you think is going to happen when you're 94? Are you going to struggle to get out of bed and actually function?
I hope not. I like functioning. It's pretty useful.
Do you think that if you were the co-inventor of the lithium-ion battery and you got to age 94, do you think you might invent a follow-up to it?
I'm guessing that's what's happened.
that is what's happened. the 94-year-old co-inventor of the lithium-ion battery, the amusingly named John Goodenough.
Was he Russian?
I don't know. I don't know. I have to admit, when I first read this story, I didn't actually notice that his name was Goodenough. But yeah, clearly the lithium-ion battery wasn't one of his main inventions.
At least not when it comes to the Note 7.
Well, yes.
Definitely not. So that's not his fault.
So he recently published his latest battery design, which is a lithium glass battery. It's an entirely solid cell that it triples the energy density of lithium ion, so you should be able to get a bigger...
Three times the life.
Yeah. You should be able to get a bigger life into the same amount of battery space. But it also recharges in minutes. Instead of hours.
So when is this going to be in our phones, Jason?
We don't know yet.
When is it going to be in anything?
So well, he's published the design of his new battery. So there's obviously a little bit of work to go from there. But I think advances in battery technology are actually really important because batteries are the things that haven't really kept pace with technological
evolution.
No, they still
require some development. Well, so especially in the pocket warmer variety.
Yes. So batteries are a problem of chemistry, whereas the most of our phones are more of a physics problem.
Yes.
So yeah, no, they're very. It's actually quite interesting to think that there's physics and chemistry put together in the device that I'm holding in my hand. But
right.
Wow. Yeah.
It's made of science.
It literally is made of science.
That'd
be
a great tagline.
Yes. Okay. Story that I've got comes from the New York Times this week, and I think this is absolutely cool. It is a wonderful use of technology and green energy. The headline in the New York Times said, "Solar experiment lets neighbors trade energy amongst themselves."
Yes.
And what's happening here is that people in Brooklyn in New York State are able to set up a microgrid amongst themselves. If you can imagine you and your neighbours, you're all living on the same block or in the same suburb, and that area then forms a microgrid, and you're producing electricity and you're selling electricity to your neighbours, or you're buying it from your neighbours who have got solar cells, or maybe they got wind, whatever.
Well, and depends what they ate for dinner.
I think this is absolutely marvellous. I think it's just a wonderful way that the technology is divesting itself.
So is it actually a physical grid connection between all of these properties, or are they just sort of they're just using a subsection of the main electricity grid?
I would imagine they're using a subsection of the main grid.
Because, I mean, we have the feed-in price you get a rebate from your electricity company for feeding solar electricity back into your grid here.
Yes,
but I think that's constantly going down, isn't it?
That is reducing as the governments reduce it because they don't like paying much for this sort of thing.
No,
especially this government.
Yes, absolutely. I reckon that is absolutely cool. I think that is just a wonderful development. And I think perhaps some governments here need to pay attention to some of the things that are happening elsewhere in the world.
I'd second that.
All those in favour? Aye?
Aye.
The ayes have it.
They do indeed. Yeah. And oh, they are so pretty as well.
Oh, well, thank you. Alex?
Oppo can't go 2 months without releasing a phone.
No, they can't.
And this week they've brought the Oppo R9S Plus to market.
And I think they also announced an upcoming release next week in China, didn't they?
Yes.
Yeah.
They've got the launch of the F3 and the F3 Plus in China now, on the 23rd. But we can't talk about those phones yet. We don't actually know what they are other than the next budget phone.
Yeah. Well, actually, we'll say the F1 was a pretty good budget phone as well.
The F1 was great.
But the R9S is barely a couple of months old. And the R9S Plus.
No, we had that boat party back in January.
Yeah, January. Yeah, a couple of months. And so the R9S Plus is ostensibly the larger screen follow-up, which that had a fairly big screen already. The larger screen follow-up with a large battery. And it follows up the R7 Plus from... I don't think that was from last year. It might have been from a couple of years ago.
Last year was the R9 Plus.
Yes. Oh, God. That's so confusing, isn't it?
Yeah. So last year they had the R9 Plus. Now they've got the R9S Plus.
I'll let you in on a little secret. I generally love Oppo's Plus phones. The Oppo's phones
are actually very good. Hmm. But one of the things that a lot of people don't actually test is the way the Bluetooth connectivity works with cars.
Yeah, I think we did talk about that.
We've spoken about it, but you don't hear a lot of other people talking about it. And to me, that's one of the vital functions of Bluetooth because it's just so important. You know, cars are getting... generally, you can't get a car without Bluetooth connectivity. And if your phone does not talk to your car's Bluetooth system, then you do have a serious problem.
So you've got one of the R9S Pluses, Alex?
Yeah, I do. I haven't actually popped over to it as my main phone yet, as I'm juggling too many phones right now. But like
only seven at a time, isn't it?
Yeah, just
it's actually the legal limit.
That's right.
I tried eight, but.
Oh, so you don't want to summon the demon of eight phones.
Yeah, I was living life on the edge. But no. So it takes, while the R9S has a 5.5-inch screen, the R9S Plus has a 6-inch screen. And in just a reasonably sized body, it doesn't feel...
It is, yeah.
Like, it's big, but it doesn't feel too big, which is the impressive thing about it. 4,000 milliamp hour battery, which is roughly 2 days of full usage.
And we'll have to give it a go with the Bluetooth systems in the car and see how they fare.
Yes. Hmm. Which car is that you're going to do it in, Jason?
When I say we, I mean the collective we, as in the Gadget Grill team. I don't actually have the phone. This is why I asked if Alex did.
Right. Okay.
By we, I mean you do all the work.
Right.
Yeah.
He's delegating this. Alex?
Alex normally does anyway.
Yeah. Okay. Next story I have relates to... IBM's Watson and the Urban Dictionary data that they have in memory on Watson. Have you guys heard about this yet?
The Urban Dictionary data?
Urban Dictionary data, yes. And apparently, scientists, you're going to love this one, have had to delete the data from the memory because it was learning to swear in its answers.
This actually sounds like the plot of a Red Dwarf episode.
It's exactly what happened with Microsoft's AI Tay.
Yeah. It is, actually, isn't it? Yes. Yeah.
I think it's absolutely wonderful. And to me, it demonstrates that the development of artificial intelligence is actually coming along quite nicely.
Yeah, if we've got multiple instances within the same year of different artificial intelligence systems all learning to swear at the same time.
I think this is a wonderful development.
It'll pass the Turing test in no time.
Indeed. Yeah.
Where will it pass it to?
I don't know.
That remains to be seen.
Yeah. Jason?
The Samsung Galaxy S8 was probably the device that loomed largest over Mobile World Congress, despite not being there.
And really? So it's a 3310. Stop lying.
Okay. Second largest device. The second biggest device that wasn't actually there, though.
I'm in biting my tongue mode here, guys. Carry on, Jason.
I'm surprised. What's happened? We take you out of the driving seat for a segment, and look what happens.
I know.
You're like a completely new man. Don't know what happens to the
album. No comment.
So the Galaxy S8 is coming out and does appear to be rather a leaky ship. We've seen a lot of leaks of the device this week, almost enough that one might suspect that it's deliberate because LG is launching the G6.
Yes.
Seriously. For about 24 hours' time, it's going on sale in the States.
Leaks do not happen by accident.
Well, sometimes they do.
Yes.
Let's be honest. Sometimes they do.
Occasionally.
So we've seen more looks at the device this week, and we're hearing that there's actually a pressure-sensitive home button on it, which it's all of these things that you can't tell from looking at all of the leaks. So someone has to sort of go, oh, yeah, did you hear about this new feature that's coming out? We've also seen a bit of a revision to the mock-up we've seen for the last few months about the location of the fingerprint sensor on the back of the device. It's kind of a silly place to put it. It is next to the camera rather than below and central, but it is quite a large surface for the fingerprint sensor.
So we're going to get fingerprints all over the camera lens.
Amazing.
That's very likely, yes.
Yes.
But that happens anyway, right?
I know.
It's going to happen even more.
And today we also saw that there's going to be a hot new violet colour option.
Hot?
And new
violet colour option.
But it won't come to Australia.
It probably won't come to Australia.
I wrote an op-ed this week about coloured phones.
It might. I mean, Huawei's bringing the P10 colours to Australia, aren't they?
No, they're still in negotiations.
Colours? So when you think about things like a violet-coloured phone, that is almost as bad. Oh my God, that is almost as bad as the default ringtones that you get on a phone. The ringtones that the manufacturers put on there. Excuse me.
I was going to say, someone please go for the iPhone and play marimba.
You know, I was going to say marimba's a classic. I will not hear anything.
Mm-hmm. So marimba is actually.
What do you have on your iPhone?
My iPhone stays in silent because I'm a real person.
Yeah, no. Who actually has a ringtone on their phone in the studio?
I do.
And also, my phone rings my watch.
I'm an old man. Come on.
Mm-hmm.
I need a ringtone so I can hear when the bloody phone rings.
So in phone-related news, Telstra's activated its 100 black spot this week. So they've been...
It's 100th black spot prevention.
Sorry, it's 100th of black spot...
Freudian slip if ever I've heard one.
Telstra ruining Australia's coverage one black spot at a time. But no, sorry. Oh, yeah, no. Telstra has activated its... So it's rolled out the 100th base station designed to reduce black spots in Australia.
Right.
Out of 577, it's... developing in conjunction with the government under the Mobile Black Spot Program.
Aha.
So where was this 100th Black Spot?
In Cooler, in Victoria's South Grampians.
Cool.
So this has been going on for about a year now, and they're expecting to get to another 200 by the end of the year. Telstra's got the lion's share of the black spots, the black spot base stations that are being built.
So you said Telstra has the lion's share of the black spots. Is it because Telstra is the only one that actually has the network that goes out that far enough to have a black spot out there? Everyone else is just like hibby dragons.
Yes, but also...
Those other networks would also have black spots in those areas if they're not there.
But they wouldn't be a black spot. It would be like a black county.
Right.
Yeah, no, but Optus is building 114 as part of a program, and Vodafone is building 74. And it's not so much about where a telco has a black spot. It's just about where there is a black spot regardless of network.
Hmm.
And so there's a tender process where councils, telcos get together and bid for areas. And Telstra's won the most, unsurprisingly.
So since, as you mentioned, Vodafone's also building their black spot prevention towers. I saw some news a couple of weeks ago that Vodafone was using NBN backhaul.
Yeah.
To eliminate black spots in...
Yes.
I think it was a town in New South Wales, but I can't remember the name of the town.
And it actually does show why we still need physical networks, because as fast as 5G is going to get, and 5G is going to be amazingly fast, those towers, what do they connect to?
They've got to connect to something. They can't go over their own wireless network.
That's right. They've got to have something in blackhaul, whether it's microwave, whether it's hardwired, whether it's NBN. Mm-hmm. It's got to be something.
Yeah.
Australia Post has a system in order to test their staff whereby every few weeks they send them ransomware. Well, sorry, they send them. They send them phishing emails. And what they decided to do, because they weren't getting anything in the way of good responses for the phishing emails, people just were blasé about it because it became so common, they decided they would have a look at sending them ransomware.
Mm-hmm.
And they put up a big black screen with red writing on it and all sorts of nasty stuff in there to make the system that the people are using look like ransomware.
It's amazing.
And they did this as an experimental mode, and they've decided to not proceed with this because of the anxiety that it created amongst their users, because, oh my God, what have I done? Type of thing, you know, what the hell is going on here?
And that's how people learn.
I've got one comment.
It was just a little bit too strong for them.
I've got one comment on this.
Yes.
Australia Post.
Yes.
Just get back to delivering my mail, please.
Yes. But training their staff is important.
Yeah.
Because if they don't train them in how to handle ransomware, how will they know where to find you to deliver your mail?
Actually, interestingly enough, on the ransomware story, there was a very sophisticated Gmail phishing scam discovered this week.
Oh, yes.
You know, when you receive an image or a file attachment in Gmail, how it renders it in a particular way.
Yes.
So this email had an image embedded which was designed to render in that particular way. And when you clicked on it, it actually contained a web page within the email that would activate when you clicked on the image. That looked like a Gmail. It looked like a Google login page.
Right, yes.
Excellent job. I have to actually admire the ingenuity of these people sometimes.
Some of them are very, very good at doing bad things. Yeah. Probably time to play some music.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. We've got some Beatles coming up. Roll Over Beethoven.
Again, Chuck Berry. Welcome back to the Gadget Grill here on 2RDJ FM 88.1 on the FM band, and we are on the internet, all the www.radio2rdj.com.
How many W's was that?
It was all of them.
All of them?
All of them.
For those playing at home.
I can actually push a lot of W's.
You certainly can.
That sounds like a euphemism. It wasn't intended.
No.
Are you sure?
They're like Vs strung together.
Yeah.
Six Vs strung together.
Yeah, six Vs or three Ws.
Three Ws, yeah. But why does a W look like of two Vs?
Not it should look more like two Ws. Two Us.
Yeah. But
two Ys you are, two Ys you
be. Why are you bringing in the sheep anyway?
So Samsung launched some TVs this week.
They did indeed. Tell us about them.
They've launched their QLED family of TVs, and notably, QLED looks very similar to OLED when written in paper, but alphanumerically, it's two better, so...
Ah, that's excellent. That actually may be the best commentary I heard on the launch of the TVs.
No, it does look like strikingly similar, like the logos. It's just
it
like,
depends on the font, doesn't it?
Exactly.
Okay.
Like
okay.
So many things in this world, it does depend on the font.
But what's more important, rather than the Q looking a little bit like an O...
Do the pixels look a little bit like an OLED pixel?
What exactly is a QLED compared to an OLED? An OLED, I think, gives absolutely the most dynamic picture so far.
Yep.
It is just so impressive to look at. And when you look at it in the store, in the displays, yes, it looks impressive. But when you get one at home... It
looks even better.
It is just amazing. The blacks are just wonderful. So what does a QLED look like at an optimised display setting?
That'll be one for Jason, because he's actually spent some time with the TVs. But firstly, maybe we should explain what the Q stands for.
Yes, let's go that way. That
might be a good idea since we spent a lot of time talking about it. So the Q is quantum dot. It's actually, I think it's Samsung's second stab at third stab. I thought it was actually the first one last year. Yeah.
No, the one before that was still a nanocrystal display. They just call it SUHD with quantum dot last year for the sake of marketing.
Yes, and so this year it's QLED. So it's their third attempt at quantum dot LED TVs. They're resisting going to OLED TV panels.
Instead, basically, they're going all about brightness, and they're saying their flagship QLED TV is twice as bright, 2,000 nits.
They're saying, yeah, they're saying, so the flagship, the Q9, is twice as bright.
Yeah, as the other last models, year's flagship.
The other models will go up to 1,500 nits.
Which is still 1.5 times as bright as last year's model. So yeah, they're all about, oh, you can watch this TV in the Australian sun without closing your blinds, etc.
Okay, to be fair, a lot of people do that, don't they? You know, fair, we drag our TVs out into the backyard.
To be fair, before we actually do pillory them for that, they didn't actually say that to us.
Okay. No, but if I did last year.
Yeah, they didn't this year. I think they learned their lesson.
Okay. So
probably after they heard Gary tell them off for it last year. So there's
they don't invite me to their things anymore.
There's a couple of big things that they did in these devices. So they've got HDR, which as we were saying functions now at 1500 nits and 2000 nits. Some of their demo reels, although they are obviously trickery, they were pretty impressive, showing off the results that you can expect to get from a scene with HDR at this brightness level. Like you can suddenly see a cat under a chair where you couldn't see one before, that kind of thing. Those things are always amazing.
Was there actually a cat under the chair at the time?
There was one under mine, but that was me sitting at home.
Right.
The other thing that they've done this year is they've got this thing they've called the invisible cable.
Oh, the invisible cable was genuinely cool.
Yeah, it was. So it's basically there's a between the breakout box and the television, it's an optical fiber cable. That's it.
Okay, so
it's a tiny little optical fiber.
So it's just a naked naked piece of fiberglass.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay. And that covers the power as well.
So there is an actual separate part of it that is power, but is almost also invisible as well.
Yes, sorry, the part of the one cable, as I call it, is...
Yeah, but also on the demo things that they were showing us, there was definitely a separate cable for it.
But they refer to it as the one cable.
Oh, the one cable, yes. Now, everything is one.
Yeah, like
models,
the one
actually.
Connect box.
And the one remote, yes.
Right.
So...
Oh, no, maybe cable, I can't remember.
They've put a lot of effort into simplifying the cable management for the television. And
good.
They've also come up with a new mounting solution for wall mounting the TV, where they've put a lot of apparatus inside the TV for handling the mounting. And there's a smaller bracket that you mount on the wall. And they said that the bracket can actually be up to 10 degrees off in either direction, and it will still function perfectly.
10 degrees, is that vertical, horizontal, what?
Well, so if you put a bracket on the wall, it might be basically in 2D space.
Okay.
And so it's actually quite impressive the effect that this has on the mounting, because basically your TV is right against the wall. There's no ugly bracket sticking out. Not that you look at the TV from that side anyway, but yeah, it's nice to see an advancement that way. And it does actually mean that you don't need to be as precision and perfect as you would have to in years gone by.
Yeah, no, the idea is
so somebody with my workmanship skills, my quality of workmanship, could actually put one up on the wall and it wouldn't matter that it's
a little bit wonky.
Or a lot wonky.
Yeah.
Well, as long as it's not more than 10 degrees wonky.
That's right.
So the idea is that anyone's meant to be able to just mount it.
Yeah.
Pending your landlord's approval.
So that is...
There is that.
So, and as they were presenting this to us the other night, they did say that, yes, they know that it's a solution that only homeowners can actually adopt. And so they do have a variety of stands available for the TVs for people who are renting as well. One other thing that's quite cool, if you pair up your TV with a soundbar and you wall mount it, the soundbar is now actually supported on the bracket that holds your TV to the wall. And so you don't actually have to mount the soundbar anymore. You just attach this bracket to the TV.
There's a bit of that and going around.
Hmm.
And the one cable passes through the soundbar, so you don't need extra cable.
Well, so it goes into the soundbar, and then there's a smaller one that connects the soundbar up to the TV.
Yeah, but like it's passed through, essentially.
Wouldn't they use Bluetooth to connect the soundbar to
no.
the...
No.
Why not?
Because it's laggy. Bluetooth is laggy.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
So,
they can delay the picture, and then you don't get
that. Then it's just annoying. Try getting that right. No one's managed to get that right.
I know.
Lots of stuff on offer with these new TVs, and I did get to play with them. I got to play with one. It was one of the base models.
The Q7?
Yes, it was the Q7.
So that's the flat one that goes to 1,500 nits.
Yes, and it's a $10,000 TV. So
Base model is $10,000.
No, it's so the Q7 is the base model, and there's three models within that.
Right.
So the cheapest of them is $4,999.
Resolution 4K, 2K?
Oh, yeah, they're all 4K.
Right.
Yeah. And yeah, so they have differing prices based on the sizes, but it's basically sort of it's I think the Q7 starts at 65 inches or is it 55? And they sort of jump up in size.
The Q7 series starts at 55, from what I remember.
Okay. Now, we spoke about the brightness, the 1500 and the 2000 nits.
Mm.
But what about the darkness? How do they render the blacks? Because one of the big things about OLED is, yes, it's got good brightness, but it's also got a wonderful range of contrast going from, well, hell, if the pixel's turned off, it's black and you don't have to turn a pixel on to then display black, and that's one of the beauties of the OLED. How does it render the blacks?
Disappointingly, they're still using
LED.
LED, but not all.
They're still side lighting the panels.
Yeah, it's still a side lit backlight rather than even a full array backlight.
So a rich black is still going to be a little bit grey.
Look, it probably is a little bit because of the technology that they're using to light it. But to be honest, I hadn't noticed.
Right,
I watched Doctor Who, I watched Star Trek, and I watched Mad Max on the TV yesterday, and I didn't have any problem with that, but I wasn't particularly looking
your job.
I was doing my job.
One of the things that I really find impressive about the OLED is the levels of contrast available, because a black is a true black. And there are some shows where you see the titles, and the titles are a crisp white on a on an absolute black. And shows like that, when you're seeing that sort of contrast, it is amazing. It really is.
Yeah, and from what I've seen of some coverage of the TVs on the web, that's still something that the Q family do struggle with, where you still see
I think calling it a struggle is probably...
It is a struggle because when there is haloing around white text, it's not that same level of backlight precision. And when you're pricing the same as OLED, it struggles compared to OLED. You'll have the clear white titles with no halo, whereas you'll still see part of the screen lit up around the white, and where it's like noticeably grey and fades off into black with the backlight when they use local dimming. So, OLED is still held up as a bastion of picture quality. I believe
there's some new OLED TVs launching from LG this week as well.
Yes, there are. And I'll be at that launch, so I guess I'll have all the goss.
We'll hear all about it next week.
Yeah.
We shall indeed. Excellent. Okay, we've got some music.
Yeah, we've got Working Class Man by Jimmy Bonds.
Oh, wonderful.
You're back with the Gadget Grill on 2RDJ.
You're back with the Gadget Grill on Radio 2RDJ.
You're back with the Gadget Grill on Radio 2RDJ.
Nobody pointed, so
Bring it back.
And on the web at www.radio2rdj.com.
Indeed.
I'll get better at that.
Well, it's all on the window.
It's actually not. Anyway.
No, it's on the window right there. The website. And okay. The phone number, if you want to ring us in the studio.
Please don't.
Don't. No, I'm not going to give you the number. No. So
we
don't.
Can give you the fax instead.
No, don't do that, because the fax isn't working from what I can tell.
So you can try and fax us some dank memes.
Yes. What's a fax anyway? Who knows? Okay, guys, take it away.
I love it when Alex drops some modern language on this show.
Yeah. If we keep talking like this, we'll run out of time.
So let's talk about some smartwatches. Tagboya this week announced its second luxury smartwatch.
Yeah,
Connected Modular 45.
It's that's how their naming convention works.
That just rolls off the tongue.
Yeah, if you didn't spend $1,500 on last year's Tagboya Connected, well, this year it's $2,500.
So $2,300.
Is that the Australian price?
Yeah, the Australian is $2,300.
Oh, so
does that include GST?
I did some sums earlier in the week and assumed.
I think so.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So we've just gone to the website and look it up. But the pricey configurations are almost $10,000.
So why?
Because they've got diamonds in the bezel.
But I could get a Samsung TV for that.
Or you can have diamonds in the bezels of your smartwatch.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, guys, we're supposed to be talking about the Tagboya watch, not the useless gadget. The useless gadget is coming up in a couple of minutes.
This is true. So it is a next-generation Android Wear watch. It actually looks pretty good.
For $2,400, you'd really hope so.
In terms of hardware, there is a bit of a thing with Android Wear watches at the moment where... a lot of them are leaving out particular features, which is annoying a particular set of the audience. But the big omission is
Chris.
The big omission is commonly NFC, and the new Tag does have NFC, so it will be capable of doing.
Does payments. It look like a typical Tagboya watch?
Right. They do, but they don't. There is a particular look to them. All the Android Wear watches are slightly thicker and chunkier. Intel does actually say that there will be smaller and thinner Android Wear watches coming soon.
Me,
but that doesn't help.
Most Android watches, including the one that I'm wearing right now, they are too thick. They are too clunky looking. I like a more elegant feel to my watch.
Well, so the Tag watches are.
They're not elegant.
They're more intended to be more masculine and chunky and a much more technical basis.
Right. We've got some music, I believe.
Yeah, we've got Johnny O'Keefe's She's My Baby.
Johnny O'Keefe.
Oh, sorry, Johnny O'Keefe.
Yes.
Sorry, my eyes are getting old and busted.
Pardon?
My eyes are old and busted.
Right.
We're back on the Gadget Grill on Radio 2RDJ at 81.1 FM or www.radio2rdj.com on the web. And we've got just enough time to tell you about a useless gadget.
We have indeed. Well, who's going to take this one?
Well, I've got one that's it's a bit of a wearable, in fact.
In a manner of speaking, yes.
So Kaspersky's launched a line of perfume it calls Frette de Toilette.
It sounds savage.
To protect people from cyber attacks.
Perfume to protect from cyber attacks.
The idea is that
this is terrifying.
The idea is that it smells like fear. So yes, it is terrifying.
So it's the naked gun 2.5.
Yes.
Yeah. So the idea is that you put on your Kaspersky Frette de Toilette, so you stay paranoid throughout the entire day. I'm guessing.
Right.
It's just. It seems gone wrong.
How does one obtain this very exclusive fragrance?
I don't even want to know.
I kind of do. I
don't think you do.
I think I might want to come in with the Frette de Toilette.
Do you want to
on one night?
But what about when you're in the club cutting a mean wiggle? Do you want to smell like
fear? Have you ever seen me wiggle in a club? Wow.
Just pull that level down a bit.
I get the feeling that wasn't the...
That one. Yep.
Something that I would pull a mean wiggle to in a club.
Okay. The useless gadget that I've got, of course, relates to...
Oh, we're doing two.
Oh, yes. It relates to the company in Canada that
makes... It's not a gadget.
Yes, they do. They make a vibrator. And this vibrator
this is a disturbing trend in the use of gadgets from you from the last week and this week.
This vibrator comes with an app.
Mm-hmm.
And the app was sending messages back home about what temperature you had the vibrator set to,
and
how long for, all sorts of things about how you used their vibrator. And they didn't tell anybody that they were doing this.
No, so they were also attempting to guess the sexual orientation of the person using the vibrator by reading the telemetry from the vibrator. This is the kind of thing that's not cool. I would caution that this doesn't necessarily make them worthy of a useless gadget segment. It actually makes them worthy of being pilloried in the news.
Absolutely, and they have been. They've also been pilloried in the courts. And they're going to be paying their customers up to $10,000 in compensation for the violation of their privacy. What, that someone's getting off, did you say?
No, someone's not getting off.
Right. They're not getting off lightly.
No. They're going to have to stick that in their pipe and smoke it.
Indeed. You have been listening to the Gadget Grill on 2RDJ FM 88.1 on the FM band and on the internet at www.radio2rdj.com. If you like what you hear, tell your friends. If you don't like what you hear, then please tell your enemies.
Tell your friends to listen and, oh my God, I can't believe how bad that was.
Yeah. I'm the Professor Stumpy Steamboat Gaz.
I don't know if I should admit to being Jason Murray after that.
No, probably not.
And I'm definitely not Alex Horrosh.
We will be back next week, maybe with Jeff, maybe not. Jeff decided to take a leave of absence today because his football team...
Did they lose?
Probably.
He messaged us during the show and told us.
Oh, did he? Okay, yeah. I didn't see that.
I can't remember what he said.
Right. We'll be back next week. This is Chucho Valdez and Achano Pozzo. You might want to pull the level up now, Alex.
That would be a good idea.
Yeah.
Good night.
Good night.